Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13. Let's see. Sand of the sea, check. Beast rise up, check. Seven heads, check. Ten horns. Let's deal with that. Before I get into this, let me just say this. I agree with Paul. Of course I agree with Paul. He's Paul. He's an apostle. He said the law is good, and I agree with that. There is something, if you read the book of Hebrews, you'll find out the law is good. God has something better. It's just sort of like this life. It's good. That life is going to be better. So you kind of get where I'm coming from, because I'm going to say some things about the law in relation to the ten horns. And I don't want to be misunderstood or accused of, oh, he hates the Old Testament, he thinks the laws are bad. I don't say that. I think the law is good. I think it's good not to commit adultery. It's good to honor your father and mother. It's good not to make idols. That's really good. It's good not to covet. Here's our problem. We don't keep the law. Not the way God wrote it. Some people have this imaginary law in their mind, and according to them, the old covenant, you try to do as much as you can, and God's okay with that. That is not what he said. And I illustrated it before like this in a message, and I'll just kind of give it to you here. The law is a covenant. It was a contract between God and Israel. I've got Deuteronomy 28 here open. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. The deal was that they did all of them. Let me illustrate it for you. If a man has a property he wants to rent to someone wants to rent that property, let's say it's a house or an apartment, they say, hey, I want to rent this apartment. Okay, I'll give it to you $500 a month and it's yours. Oh, that's a bargain. I'll take that. Here, sign this lease. This lease says you're going to pay $500 a month every month from now until this time next year. You're going to make that payment on the second day of every month. If you do not pay that, you're in violation of the contract. So, guy says, deal. So he's there 2 or 3 months, pays the rent, fourth month. He's there, he's been there 3 months, the fourth month, on the second day of the month, he can't come up with the money. So on the third day of the month, the landlord goes out, he goes to a judge and gets they're gonna throw him out. Okay? Eviction. Gets an eviction for him. Why? Because the person who rented the property and was paying $500 a month, as of the third day of the fourth month, they broke that contract. That contract is over. And the landlord has every right to, within the laws of that state, in most states it's 30 days, he has every right to toss that man out on the street, regardless of whether he has a place to stay or not. He has every right to do that. If the guy pays $400 on the second day of the fourth month, not five, 400. On the third day of the month, he has broken the lease. The lease did not allow for, well, you can pay it whenever you want to, or it's no big deal. The law, the lease, never allowed for that. Neither does the old covenant. The old covenant doesn't show mercy. The old covenant said, do every law that I have for you. If you miss one law, disobey one commandment, you're going to be guilty of breaking this covenant. And here's what God said. He said, verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all, there that word again is again, all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall be at this city, in the field, in thy basket and store, in the fruit of thy body. He's going to send vexation. He's going to make the pestilence cleave unto them. He's going to smite them with consumption. I mean, this is bad, bad stuff that God's going to do to them. He says on down here, in verse 36, this is where it gets interesting. This is where Revelation 13 starts meeting the law. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. He says, verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Then he says, verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. You think about that one for a long time, not understanding a tongue. A nation of fierce countenance. God said in the book of Daniel that there's going to be a king of this nation who is a king of fierce countenance, who understands dark speeches. I think the two go together. So here's, and this is what I'm setting up for you. The condemnation of the law, according to the contract, God is required by his own covenant and his own oath, God is required to bring a nation and a king of fierce countenance. That means he looks mean, and he is mean, like a crocodile or an alligator. They look mean, or a leopard or a lion, okay? All these animals, they look mean all the time. You never see a smiling lion. Hi, can I eat you? They never do that. So, what are the 10 horns? We're not going to deal with the issue of horns this week. They'll probably do that next week. But I want you to understand what this 10 represents. Why are there 10 horns? I'll tell you a little bit. Horns represent the power to force or enforce. It's just like two buck deer. They're battling over ground. They're battling over mating rights. They're battling, and they use their horns against each other. And one deer is going to win. He's going to use his horns to push that other buck deer out of there. And that deer now has dominance. All right. So that's what we're dealing with here. And there's 10 of them. Why 10? We're going to go to Revelation 17 and get a little bit of an idea that now that I've set this up here, you understand that you break the law, there's a curse comes on you. Now, Christ is the one who came, who didn't break the law. He qualifies to be the recipient of all the good that the law has. He's the only one. Not I, not any of the Jewish people, not the Hebrew roots people, not the Mormons, not the Catholics, not anybody. Only Christ qualifies. But here's what Christ did. Christ came and took upon himself these curses upon himself. That's what that crown of thorns was. He took that curse upon himself and died. Now he's resurrected. Now we can be in Christ and be free from these curses, even though, well, some say, well, I didn't break all the laws. It doesn't matter. It's kind of like the guy who says, I know my rent's 400, 500, but I paid 400. It doesn't matter. The law said pay 500 on the second of the month. And if you don't, I'm throwing you out. Your best is not good enough under the terms of the old contract. It's not good enough. So watch this. Revelation 17:12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, because they have crowns on the horns, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. I want you to remember that. They're going to give their power. The power is in their horns to enforce things. And their strength. What is the strength we're talking about? I almost said it. We're going to look at it in a little bit. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Boy, this is getting good already. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I love it. Now, these 10 horns, I believe, are related to the fourth kingdom and the 10 toes. Think of the feet. When feet stand on something, that is whatever they're standing on, they have dominion over. Remember what Paul said in Romans 16. May the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You're going to have dominion over Satan. The woman in Revelation 12 has dominion over the moon because she has the moon under her feet. She has dominion over it. She has dominion over, listen to this, she has dominion over the curse of her sin. Is there a curse in women that's related to the moon? Think about it. God's going to remove that curse. She's going to have victory over it. God told Joshua, every place the sole of your feet touches, that's how I'm going to give it to you. So it's dominion. And these 10 toes, let's read it. Daniel 2:42, as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. So here we have two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of the stone, which is Christ. And then we have Revelation 17. These kings have a kingdom, but they haven't had it yet. But it's coming. So he said that kingdom shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass thereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. So what happens, and you know this from Daniel 2, the stone cut without hands comes, and it targets the toes. Why? Because that's how this whole kingdom is standing. And when he goes after the feet, the toes, the ten, and destroys the ten, get it? When he destroys the ten, all of these other kingdoms come crashing down and they fall and they're broken and ground to powder. So think about that. They're also related to the fourth beast that Daniel sees in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7, verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, so we're seeing the connection here. The 10 toes of the book of Daniel and how they're destroyed. We see the 10 horns in Daniel chapter 7. We see the 10 kings, Revelation 17. 10 horns in Revelation 13, 1. Now listen to, and these 10 make war with the Lamb, who is Christ. The Lamb overcomes them. The Lamb beat the 10. Okay? 1 Samuel 18:7. You remember this. The women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. David conquered 10,000s of his enemies. 1 Samuel 25:5. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said, 1 Samuel 25:5. 1 Samuel 25 is the story of Nabal. I've covered this before, but I'm going to just kind of go through this again so you get the picture here. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, go ye up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. When the 10 go out first, that's the old covenant, that's the law. And they meet up with Nabal and says, we got an offer for you. David is going to be king. He's been protecting your land. Why don't you give him some figs and some cheese and some goat and some milk and wine because we're all hungry. And Nabal said, who's David that I should obey him? That's what the 10 said. So Nabal sends back and says, I'm not obeying David. with the tent. I'm not doing it. Okay? So, David was going to go kill him. Abigail comes and she beseeches the Lord on his behalf. She beseeches David on his, she's the church. She's praying. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. Save his life. Save his life. So now, in 1 Samuel 25:38, it came to pass about, here's what happened. I didn't have this part in my notes. When Abigail told Nabal, Nabal had a big drunken party one night. And he was all drunk and he passed out. And the next day when he woke up, Abigail told him about David wanting to come and kill him. And as soon as Nabal heard that, the Bible says his heart turned to stone. Think of the Ten Commandments. His heart turned to stone. And then it says, and it came to pass about 10 days after, there's your law, there's your Ten Commandments, that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. So now Abigail can go and marry David. Abigail was under dominion of Nabal. She was under the law, the Ten. Nabal died. Now she's free to go and marry another. We'll get there in a minute. Exodus 34:28. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the epitome of what is in the Old Covenant. And God said, I'm just going to give you 10 things. If you do these 10 things, you'll live. You might be good at 9 of them. There's always going to be at least one that you don't deal very well with. And you might as well get honest, at least to yourself, because the Holy Ghost is trying to draw you into honesty. There's always at least one, maybe two or three, that you just don't, hard for you to get away from. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is with me. We'll just leave it at that. But God knows. And God knows that little religious show that you put on every weekend, that you're a big phony, because you let out that you're some spiritual guy or girl, and you have all these powers with God, and you're just as wretched on the inside as everybody else is. But you're trying to make it look like you're better than they are. That's pride, by the way. So we have the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 10:4. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. So I think the Ten Commandments and these ten horns related. I think, even though the law is good, the curse of the law is if you don't do all of it, you're out. So the curse of the law brings forth the beast with ten horns. And God is going to allow this cruel authority, this king of fierce countenance, and these nations of fierce countenance to rule over evil man. He's going to give them dominion over the beast, over man is what it is. Now, listen to this. If you're in Christ, God gives you deliverance from the ten. Psalm 91. I love Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is the secret place of the Most High? I don't know. It's a secret. I just know that we abide there. And the devil can't find us. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee. Go back to Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and look for pestilences. Go look for it. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. I believe that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That means the Bible is your protection, your shield. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Think about you standing and 10,000 falling. And he said, it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now here's something interesting. And this passage here had to do with the 10,000 that fall next to you. But you are safe and secure under the shadow in the secret place of the Almighty. He's covered you with his wings and under his feathers. You'd learn to trust that. You go to the shield, which is the word of God. The devil's trying to send fiery darts your way, and you're going, come on, devil, you can do better than that. Come on, okay? Like some superhero or something. Here's what's interesting. Remember the devil, the description given in Ezekiel 28, all those stones? Did you ever count those? Ezekiel 28:11. More of the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. 10. He's got 10 stones. That's his covering. He represents the curse of the law. That's what he represents. So the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou was created. Think of what we read last week. Them in the valley of Shinar, and the image of gold, 60 cubits tall by 6 cubits wide. And they're playing seven things, seven musical instruments, seven trumpets. They're playing seven musical instruments, and they all fall. Where's the music coming from? It's coming from the Lucifer, who's covered with the ten. He represents the curse of the law. Now, Romans chapter 7. Remember back here in 1 Samuel 25, Nabal and Abigail. Abigail is married to Nabal. He's mean, wicked, cruel, hateful. He's a drunkard. He's mean to his wife. He's everything in the world that's hateful, all right? And he's under the curse of the law. So the ten come to him and offer him peace, and he wants no peace. He has nothing to do with it. So God smites him, turns his heart to stone, and he's that way for 10 days, and then he dies. So now Abigail is free. This is what Paul was dealing with. That's the typology of the doctrine in Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband, Nabal, is bound by the law, the 10 messengers, to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, see, David can't go and steal Abigail unless he's just planning on committing adultery. Because right now, Abigail belongs to Nabal, for better or for worse. If while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, think Nabal, the law, Israel was married to God in the Old Testament under the law. God wrote her a bill of divorcement. Didn't put her away, didn't want anything to do with her because of her whoredoms and everything like that. God had just cause to do so. So the law said she can't even be remarried back to God again under the law, because once he put her away, she cannot come back to him. Even if he wants her, she cannot come back to him. Not until he dies is she free. So what happened? God died. That's what the four Gospels are all about. Now that he died, he has been resurrected, and now he lives, and she is now free to remarry. All right? Though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Bringing forth fruit unto death is a picture of the coming of the Antichrist. Bringing forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So here's my premise. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to try to tie some things together with Daniel and so on, all right? With the 10 toes and the 10 horns. The 10 horns are, this beast is the representation of God's curse upon planet Earth, and now the dominion of the curse of sin, the nation of cruel countenance, or fierce countenance, and the king of fierce countenance is going to now rule over planet Earth. God's going to turn them loose and say, you can have it. Be as cruel as you want to be. And that's exactly what they're going to do. So 1 Corinthians 15, 55. What is it? Well, let me read this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Did you get that? Because back here in Revelation 17, it says these 10 horns have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Where did they get their power? They get their power from the law. O death, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That's where their strength comes from. Their strength comes from man's disobedience. So they give their strength accumulated through the sins and the disobedience of mankind. They give that strength to the beast, and now he has power to rule over them. Just think of it like, I don't know, like a cop that's on the take, all right? He's working the narcotics division, but secretly he's making deals with all the... This happened over in Illinois a few years ago. Judges were doing this. This police officer is making deals with these drug peddlers. And as long as they keep turning money over to him, and as long as they do what he says, he won't bust them for drugs. Okay? And he holds power over them because of their sin. He has the power to arrest them, but that's not what he's doing. He is using them to gain power for himself. And that's what I see these 10 kings. They are empowered every time man sins. But they agree to give that strength and that power to the beast. Now he is going to rule over them with such a heavy hand. It's commonly known that where you have a wicked generation of people, you have to have more laws. When our nation was young and we were a virtuous people, our laws were very few. 7 parts to the U.S. Constitution plus 10 amendments after that. That and all those amendments did, they didn't say, now you have to do this and this. Those 10 amendments actually solidified our freedom as Americans. And it was that simple. But as America has gotten more evil, as businesses have gotten more corrupt, laws had to be passed and regulations had to move in to regulate businesses, or we know that they would just do whatever they want to do. Likewise with people as well. As people become more wicked and more vile and more corrupt in their doings, more laws have to be passed to corral them in. And we are living literally in a time where just about everybody in America is a criminal and a lawbreaker of some sort. There's no way around it. What empowers that? Our own sin. You see, if there is just one guy in America who took an illegal drug, just one guy, we wouldn't have to have laws in all 50 states, would we? We wouldn't have to have narcotics officers. We wouldn't have to have all of that, you know, drug enforcement agency. We wouldn't have to have any of that if there was just one guy. There's more than just one guy. They're everywhere. And they're destroying America. So now we have to have more laws and more officers and more prisons and more this and more that, more cruel authority. We're the ones making this. That's what's going on here. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is what keeps me going some days. I said, I have a promise that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so I want you to just think about that ten. Think about those ten horns being a representation of mankind breaking God's law. And God has just simply given them the cruel authority that He promised under the terms of the Old Covenant. Go read. Go back and read Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Study the curses that God said that He... Study the blessings. Because all of those blessings are in Christ. When you look at... Let me read this to you. Deuteronomy 28. I just had a thought here and I like it. He says, if you do all of His commandments, these blessings shall overtake thee. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. You know what city that is? New Jerusalem. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. I mean, all these blessings are to Christ alone, because He's the only one who did this. And if we are in Christ, then these blessings apply to us. If we are outside of Christ, then these curses overtake us. So I think it's just really that simple. Some have looked, you know, tried to find, well, you know, FEMA has divided America up into 10 regions. I get it. I think that's very plausible. But the reason why FEMA has done that, and FEMA now is taking control over everything, we say, well, FEMA's never voted in. It's the unelected officials. That's exactly right. If it was elected officials, then it would be by the will of the people, but it's not. It's by the will of the authority, the will of the law, the will of the government. So FEMA divides the nations into, or divides this nation into 10 regions. Why? Preparation for cruel authority. It all goes back to the law. It all goes back to the law. We can cry about the New World Order all we want to and how corrupt our government is. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The government's corrupt because the people are. We might as well just get used to that fact, because that's exactly what's coming down the road. All right? That's what I think about the ten horns and what they represent and what they are. So you just take that and you go through the scriptures, study those blessings and cursings that God promised, and I think God will give you wisdom. All right? Hey, God bless you. It's good to be with you. And we'll study these horns maybe next week and find out just the power of what horns represent. And then we'll move into some other things. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.